Well, how you turn this thing down? Huh? Who got it? Watch that back there next time, hear me? All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to look at 9 through 10. 9 through 10. This is a good little text, and 9 and 10's got a, it's easy, it's really easy to follow. If you ever do a Sunday school lesson or something, it's a really good little text to work with your Sunday school classes and things. Okay? So, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. Let me read the text, and then we'll get into it. Who has saved us? And he's called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world ever began. Verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to preach this evening. We're thankful for the people this morning, Lord. But just, it was such a shot in the arm for everybody, I think. It seemed the numbers coming back and people coming back. And it just was a blessing. And we're thankful for what you do. And we can't do anything in and of ourselves. But, Lord, we know that you can do great things. Continue to add to our church as time goes on, and pray that the Holy Spirit would touch people maybe that have drifted in some type of way. And we're going to try, of course, pray that we'll try to reach those that we haven't seen for a while. So I pray for a blessing in that also. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, this is just an easy little text. It shouldn't take real long for me to do, but it's a really good little text. It says here in verse 9, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, who has saved us? Who hath saved us? Now, of course, who saved us? We didn't save ourselves, did we? Who saved you? God did. God's the one that saves you. A lot of times people think they do their own saving. You didn't save yourself. I want you to understand that. You did not save yourself. Who saved you was the Lord. And you know what he did? He opened your understanding. See, before I was born again, there's a lot of things I didn't understand. But when he opened my understanding and I understand that Jesus was the Savior and I trusted him as my Savior, that's when he saved me. That's when he saved me. So that's important to remember. Beloved, we can't save ourselves. We can't save ourselves. There has to be a moving of the Spirit of God upon a sinner's heart. And what the Lord does in the new birth is he opens your understanding and he opens your heart. And then you see that Jesus is the Savior and you trust him as your Savior. So who does that? The Lord does that. I'm going to say it one more time. I didn't save myself. God saved me. And that's who gets the glory for salvation. And I want everybody in the church to know that. All the glory for salvation goes to the Lord because he's the one that saved you. You didn't save yourself. God did. All God's people said. Important that you understand that. Because a lot of people think they saved themselves. And they take credit for all their salvation works and things of that nature. Don't work that way. He saved you. All God's people said again, He saved you. So, who has saved us? Now, it says that includes, the text includes Timothy also. Let's look at that. Who has saved us and he's called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace given us in Christ Jesus before the world ever began. 1 John chapter 5. Let's turn to this real fast. we don't have to turn real fast. We can just turn to it. First John chapter 5 and the verse 20. Another text that kind of goes with this. It says in 1 John 5 and 20, and we know that the Son of God has come. We know that the Son of God is come. Now, let me ask you, do you know that the Son of God has come? Now, beloved, He's already come once. He's already come one time. It's already happened once. And eventually, He's going to come a second time. First time's already happened. The second time is coming. Now, I don't know when the second coming is going to be, but I know that God has plans for that. And He's the one that's going to bring that to pass eventually. Could He come tonight? Yes. He could come this very night. Could be the night that He comes. I don't know. We just got to always be what? Ready. And how do you get ready? By trusting Jesus as your Savior. You got to trust Him, and you got to put all your confidence in Him as your Savior. That's what you have to do. I hope that everybody here tonight's been born again. I hope everyone here tonight has trusted Jesus as their Savior. Because when Jesus comes, what's the most important thing? Was you ready? You got to be ready. And listen, I'm ready to go up either by death or by rapture. Either way, I'm ready. All God's people see it. Are you ready to go up? Either way, I'm ready. I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know when my death day is going to come. I don't know when Jesus is going to come. But either way, I'm ready. And that's what we want for people in our family, right? That's what we want for people in our family and our friends and things. We want them to have what this text talks about. We want them to have eternal life. We want them to have a home in the Father's house. We want them to know Christ. That's what matters when someone dies or when Jesus comes. Are you ready? All right, and we know that the Son of Man, and we know that the Son of God is come, and He's given us an understanding. He give us a what? What's an understanding? He gave you that understanding the day that you trusted Him as your Savior. There was a day that I didn't understand a lot of things about the things of the Lord, but after a while, I realized that where that all begins is when you realize that He gives you an understanding. To know Him, that is true. How do I know I'm saved? God saved me. I know the Lord saved me. Why? Because the Scripture says that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that true or not? That's how the Lord saves a sinner. And that's how God brings them into the fold. I don't know who all God's going to save. And neither do you. But one of the things that we do as God's people is we seek to win others to Christ. That's one of the reasons why we're here. We come and worship and we come and sing. But one of the main things we should do is seek to reach other people in your family. Other people in your family. Co-workers, friends. You seek to win them. God puts people in your way sometimes so that you can witness to them. Well, I'm afraid what they might think. Well, if it seems like it's going south and they don't want to listen to you, then go on to somebody else. If it's closed, sometimes there is closed doors. There's some people you can't even deal with them, and they don't want to deal with you. You know what I do? I said, well, I hate that for you, though, but I go to somebody else and talk to them. And sometimes you'll get that open what? You get that open door. And you see it. And you tell them about Jesus. And then you explain it all to them, and then what do? Then I said, would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior right now? Would you like to do that today? Oh, my, I'm never so happy in my life when they look at me and say, oh, Jeff, yes, I'd like to be saved right now. Right now. But when you know you have that eternal life in your soul, listen to me. I don't worry about things. Now, there are some things I guess I would possibly worry about, but I'm not worried about hell. I'm not worried about Jesus coming either. I'm not worried about a lot of things that people worry about because I know it's, hey, I know it's settled as far as I'm concerned between me and God. Hey, I'm settled about it. And the only thing I really want is in my whole world is I want to see my family saved. That's what I want to see. I want to see kids, children saved and things of that nature. That's what I want to see. That's what I'm after. Now, you can't shake somebody saved, but you can set the example for them. Maybe send them something, you know. And you know, every now and then tell them you love them. Tell them you love them. And I mean, really. Because the most important thing for children to have is eternal life, because you can have the greatest amount of money in the world, but if you die and go to hell, you're still poor. It's not going to amount to nothing without eternal life. And that's what I want. Let's go back to Acts, the book of Acts chapter. Let's go to Acts 16 now. Let me read a little bit more. Hope the Lord bless you this evening. Acts chapter 16. It takes the Holy Spirit to do that. Acts chapter 16 and look at verse 14. And you've heard of this girl before. She's one of the seven churches of Asia was Thyatira. It says a certain woman named Lydia, and she was a seller of purple. She made purple dye. She was probably very well to do. From what I understand, that was very, you know, lucrative trade to be in of some type. And that's what she was. It says, and on the Sabbath, we went out and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake to the women there. And a certain woman named who? She was Lydia. She's a seller of purple. Whose? Are you ready? Whose heart the Lord opened. He opened her heart. What's that mean? To open your heart is to open your understanding. It opens your mind. You see it. I remember it. I remember when I first saw it. Hey, let me say it one more time. I remember when I first understood it. I remember when I knew I really needed it. There was a lot of things about the Lord I believed, but I never trusted it for a good bit. I didn't, you know, there was maybe a while I didn't trust it. I just didn't. I was mean and cantankerous. Boy, there's a time. You know, I thought, Lord, I've been in this little old Baptist church all these years, and I've heard about Jesus and all these different kinds of things. How horrible would it be to die and go to hell in a place like this? All God's people said. What a horrible way to go when you know better. And I knew better. And I'm thankful to the Lord for the conviction. Listen. I'm thankful for the Lord for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. He'll rock your world, son, when he deals with you in conviction. Makes you want to be saved. We should pray for Mount Zion conviction on people in your family. Pray it every day of your life. Pray that the Lord would touch them in a mighty way. Because God can change things. Only conviction can do that. Only an open heart can do that. And the only one can do either one of those is who? Jesus. Jesus. I watched Dewey witness to, was that your aunt? I watched Dewey witness to his aunt. And, he had a zeal for, his aunt. He wanted to see her saved. He just wouldn't quit. He just kept right on rolling. I don't think he wanted, you didn't want me to help, did you? I don't know. He never shut up. But anyhow, he was rolling. And he's talking to her and he said, he called her by name and he said, if you would die right now, you'd go to hell. That's what he said. Is that true? I mean, most people go, oh my, that's a little, hey, sometimes it gets a little drastic every now and then. And you got to really lay it out there for people. And the reason why he did it is because he was worried to death about her soul. And all he wanted me to do, I thought he wanted me to come and present it. No, he just wanted me to be there. He did all the presenting. Over and over again, he talked to her. He said, no, I want you to, if you would die right now, you'd go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. That's what he's saying. That sounds a little brash. No, that sounds a little true to me, and somebody cares about somebody. All God's people say it. You need to care about people's soul. We worry too much about things. Sometimes you have to step out a bit and share things about the things of God. Okay, so he saved us, and here's the second point. He's also called us. He called us with a special call. He's called us to be a saint. It's 1 Corinthians 1:2. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says we're called to be saints. Who called you to be a saint? The Lord did. Beloved, y'all think that's great? He called you to be a saint. And the word saint means a holy one. That's how he views you. He called you to be a saint, which means a holy one. That's what he did. And that's what he done. And when did he do that? When he saved your soul. When he saved your soul. Verse 15. Acts 16 and verse 15. Nose running like a sugar tree. Don't say nothing about my nose either. That's what I was hoping not. All right. Lydia Seller Purple, whose heart the Lord, she was of Thyatira, the city, one of seven churches, as we already said, whose heart the Lord opened. Can the Lord still open hearts? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Folks here tonight, here's what I want you to understand. You can't open a heart. You can't open a heart. Only God can open a heart. He's the only one that can do it. You can't slap, you know, you can't slap somebody saved or anything of that nature. You can't do anything like that. People won't listen to you like that. Anyhow, so it's important that you share the gospel with them. But only God can open a heart. And then when that sinner person trusts Jesus as their Savior, it opens their heart. Jesus opens their heart in the new birth. He's the one that does it. Okay? All right. Let's go back to our text in Acts. Back to our text. Let's see. Let me go back to 2 Timothy. I'm way off my notes here this evening, Bertha. It's all your fault. 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's where I'm supposed to be. Okay? Now I see my little numbers, 9 and 10. I have to have them little numbers or I'll get lost. All right. If you're ready, say amen. Amen. All right. Who has saved us? Who saved you? Let me ask you another question. Have you been saved? He called us also. He called us with what kind of calling? It's a holy calling. It's a holy calling. It's a calling to trust Christ as your Savior. It's a holy calling. And, beloved, the call of the Holy Spirit is a strong thing. We usually call it, Rick, we call it the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. It's a strong thing. You can't slap somebody saved and all these kind of things people sometimes say. The only thing that can save a sinner is for the Spirit of God to have their heart opened. And when God opens the heart, then that changes everything. And that's why it's so very important. He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to His works. Not according to our works. Can you be saved by your works? No, it's impossible. Could have been that way, it would have been that way, but it's not. Not according to your works. There won't be a single person in heaven that got there by their deeds. Won't be a single person in heaven that got there by their deeds. But there will be a multitude of people there that got there by the grace of God, by trusting Jesus as their Savior. That's the only way you can get there. There is no other way. You got to go the right way. Can't go the wrong way. You got to go the right way. You got to go through who? Go through the Master. Yeah. He's the one that saves you. He's the only one that can. He can open your heart. He can open your understanding. He can draw you right to Himself. That's what we pray for. Don't you love to see people get saved? I think sometimes we don't ask for it enough. I think we all do. I hope we all do. I mean, what kind of Christian would we be if we never prayed for people to be saved in our family? I mean, I want to see people saved in my family. I want to see people be born again. That's what I like to see that. I think it's important that God's people pray for that and seek that or send tracts for that or whatever they need to do. But we need to seek to win souls. All right, I'm almost done. Who has saved us? He's called us with what? He's called us with a holy calling. It's not according to your what? Can you be saved by your works? It'd have been that way if that's the way it was. It would have been that way if that's the way it was. But it's not that way. You can't save yourself. You need a Savior, and there's only one of them. And that's Jesus. He can save you, wash you clean, give you everlasting life, and give you a home in the Father's house. And that changes your whole world around after that. One of the things I look for with regard to people, especially after they make professions of faith, listen to me now, I like to see them change. If I don't see them change, I get nervous over stuff like that. If I see them stand to change that they was before or the same that they was before, I'm thinking something's wrong almost immediately when that happens. There's going to be a change in somebody when they're born again. There's going to be a complete change. That's why the Scripture says, as I've already told you, old things pass away, all things become. If you ain't new, there's something wrong with it. All right. Let's read on. But it's now who has saved us. He's called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? I don't know why people don't like that. There's all kinds, Dean, there's all kinds of people that does not like what I just said right there. Not in our church, I wouldn't think. But in a lot of churches it is, they can't stand that damnable. That's what they call it. They call it a damnable doctrine. Well, it's right there. What are you going to do with it? You're going to look at a text and say it's damnable because you don't like it? Who put it in the book? God did. Stay with me now. But now it's made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And here's what it says. He abolished what? He abolished death. Well, people still dying, though, ain't they? People still die, but those that are born again, when they die, they go up to be with Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? So he put to death on this thing. Now you think how great that is. He's put the death blow to death. Old death, where is thy sting? Old grave, where is thy victory? How great it is to have victory over death. I don't know how people could live nights if they believe in heaven, but at the same time they've never trusted Him as Savior. I don't know how you could sleep like that. I think that's such a dangerous thing. I think the devil can lull people to sleep. And I think many times they think they got plenty of time to get the thing taken care of, but many times. Have you ever experienced that before? Here you had somebody and you witnessed to them, you told them about Jesus, and they seem to believe what you said. Well, Jeff, I believe what you say, but they think they got plenty of time to do something about it. And then what they end up doing is they wait their way right into hell. It's a horrible, horrible thing. Close with this. But now it's made manifest by the appearing of Jesus, our Savior, Jesus Christ. He abolished death, and he's brought life and immortality. What's immortality? Deathlessness. That's what immortality is. Deathlessness. He's given us deathlessness. One day we'll be in glory and we'll never die. Never grow old. Never get sick. All right. He abolished death and hath brought immortality, deathlessness, to light through the gospel. All God's people say it. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention this evening. Thank you. You're listening real good. All but Stewie. And I'm thankful for it. Let's all stand. Be sure to remember the